Well, good morning, and I want to invite you to take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians, and we're going to look at chapter 6 in a moment, and then a little later we'll look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, so they're both close together. If you can find one, you can find the other. On this momentous occasion, we think about what God has done and what we pray He will do. God has always occupied a designated space, a special space. What makes it special is that it has always been designated as a place where the people of God would gather to worship the one true Jehovah God. That happened in the wilderness in the tabernacle. It happened in the Old Testament with the temple. And it's happened in this era of the church age in the local church. And this we call the church, but we know that we are the church, as we'll see in just a moment. But you can't imagine followers of Christ not having a place where they gather for corporate worship. And so we refer to it often as the church. I remember at the first church I pastored, it was out in the country in South Arkansas, and they referred to the church building as the church house. And I thought that was quite quaint and country, so I never used that term until I had grown in my knowledge of Scripture and the Lord as they had been. Because it is the church building that houses the church, if you will. And so we gather here to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. We dedicate this beautifully remodeled worship center to our Lord Jesus Christ for His glory and for His honor. And we and many before us have benefited by those that went before us and them and embarked on building this worship center. It was built in 1962. And then in the 80s, the church felt led of the Lord to take offerings and to move out on Highway 9. And so they took up offerings and they gave sacrificially. And they ended up buying that property on Highway 9 where they believed that the Lord was leading to move out there. And I've been here 24 years, and I can tell you that the elders were always open to that. We as a church were always open to that. But we also knew that God may be leading us to stay here and to renovate. And so we were just as open to one as we were the other and praying, but not trying to push either one. And so the Lord eventually led us to renovate here. And that money that had been given, it was about 600,000 years ago, ended up being about 4.6 million that we got for it. And we had X amount designated for the worship center and the properties and so forth. And so we are in this beautiful building to designate and dedicate as a place to worship the one true God, the followers of Christ known as Trinity Baptist Church, and those that would come along beside us and those that would come behind us. And oh yeah, by the way, it's paid for. And that is something to celebrate. It is a rare thing for a church to take on this kind of project, and when it's done, it's paid for. That's right. And that is something we should not take lightly. Now, I'm going to confess something before I go on and get into the dedication of this and us thinking about it. I must share with you that in my lifetime, I never had a thought that I would be really birthday happy about hallways. It just never crossed my mind that I'd be happy about a hallway. But I must tell you, I'm quite giddy about them. I have walked them many times, and actually, I was up here yesterday, and one of the reasons that I stayed for a while is because when I got here this morning, I have to prepare the message, and I didn't want to get distracted by wanting to come and see this. Well, I got distracted. And so I came out, and I came in the worship center, but when I left, I had to walk the hallways again. I'm just so thankful, and you can know this, if I'm giddy about hallways, I'm elated about what's going on in here. So now, we as Trinity Baptist Church, on the first day of May 2022, we dedicate this worship center to God as a place for us to worship Him. And for those who come behind us to continue to worship Him, and those that come along beside us, all as a faithful New Testament church of believers seeking to honor Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. The Spirit of God says through the Apostle Paul, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own?" And so we can, that the pronouns there are singular. He's not talking about us as a group, but he's talking about each individual that's a believer, that the Holy Spirit dwells in us, and we are a temple, and the word temple there is the same word used in the Old Testament of the Holy of Holies. And so we are individually that, which means that because we have the Holy Spirit in us, we have the opportunity to worship God in the intercourse of life during the week, in our work and our rearing children and having a marriage and so forth and so on. We can worship Him, and that is authentic preparation for coming together as the body of Christ and worshiping in one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And that is what we're doing now, because we're each the temple of God. Now, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 10, "Go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve Him only." Now, about 2 weeks ago, we talked about the worth of work worship. And so I'm not going to go into great detail, but just to remind you, there are two words in the New Testament for worship. One of them is used here, and that is the word proskuneo in the original, and it means to prostrate or to bow before. And so it's what we're doing now, to worship God. But the other word is latruo, and it can be translated worship, and it can be translated serve. So when it's used as the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew in the Old Testament, you come to places like Joshua 24:15. "Choose you this day whom you will serve, but for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We will worship the Lord. And then Paul said in Acts 26:7, "The God whom I serve, the God whom I worship." And so while proskuneo is about this worship that we think of normally, latruo combines work, our life, worship, and serving, and it often carried with it the idea of reward. And in some contexts, we would translate that wages, meaning it had to do with serving God and ultimately for rewards we would get for being faithful, but also wages in our work. And so what we said is this, that as Christians, we're not just to have a job or have a family or rear children, but we have a vocation, a call of God upon our life, and that encompasses everything we do, including our family of having children, whether we're married or not. We're to see that as the call of God upon our life at that moment. Part of that is what we call a job, but don't ever let it be, if you're a Christian, reduced to a job. It is the calling of God upon your life for that season. And if you are doing what God wants you to, and I want to tell you, whether it's changing babies' diapers or whether it's standing there as the thankful parent of a child that you changed their diapers and they finally graduated high school, whether you are the president of a company, or whether you are digging ditches, painting, or you're composing a symphony, it doesn't matter. What matters is that's the call of God upon your life at that time. And in that, because the Spirit of God is in us, we can worship God every day, every minute of the week. So I'm probably not going to change a diaper, but especially this time in my life, I can help it. But we can change a diaper and worship God. We can be in a coal mine and worship God. We can be sitting high up in a high and lofty office and worship God. If that is God's call upon our life at that moment, so our week can be spent truly in worship. We are beings that are, we were constituted by God to worship Him, meaning made to have a relationship. We are not genetically determined, but we are constitutionally designed to worship God. They're not going to find a gene that, no matter how bad the atheists want it to, that determines us to worship God. We're designed that way. And when you go to places like Romans 1:25, it says, when they had forsaken worshiping God, because we are constitutionally designed to worship, then we began to worship the creation and the creature. And it says, and they served the creature rather than the creator. And that word serve there is the word latruo. They were designed to worship God, to serve Him, and to be rewarded. But because they have walked away from God, they are latruo, serving the creature. They got a boss. That's who they serve. But we serve God. We honor the boss. We serve the boss in that sense, but we're serving God. We have a vocation. And so what happens to a person when they lose that calling of God, they don't recognize that they should be doing what God wants them to do at that moment, they cease to have a vocation, a call of God, and they are reduced to having merely a job, a way to make a living. Therefore, if we are led in one area and it is not immoral, and we are serving God, and that is God's call upon our life at that time, we can honor Him, we can worship Him, and be prepared for corporate worship. So that leads me to chapter 3, verse 16, just back up a page. And he says again to the Corinthians, do you not know that you are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Now, if you compare those two verses in the original, in chapter 6, the pronouns are singular. It's talking about the individual. But here they are plural. So what he's talking about now is the local church. Do you not know, Corinthians, as a local church, that you are the temple of God? And that is the same word used in the Old Testament for the Holy of Holies. God's people have always been taught to worship God privately. But we have always been commanded to worship Him corporately. Without serving God, though, and a worship sense, throughout the week, we are ill-prepared to come together and to worship Him corporately. And if we do not worship Him corporately, on the Lord's Day, we are ill-prepared to worship Him privately during the course of the week. They are two sides of the same word of worship. Where we gather for worship is a holy place. What we do determines it being a holy place. And who meets us in that place determines it to be a holy place. In the wilderness, they worshiped God in the tabernacle, which was, if you will, a mobile temple. And then they worshiped in the temple that was built by Solomon. After the Solomonic temple, they worshiped in the Herodian temple, that which was built by King Herod. That would have been the temple that Jesus would have participated in, the Passover and so forth. And then they had the synagogues, which were local places, and they were scattered throughout the land. So the church, God's people, gather together in the church house in this age to worship God. This room that we're in has been called historically a sanctuary or a worship center. It should not be called an auditorium. It is a sanctuary, and that speaks of its character, that it is a sacred place because of God. It is referred to as a worship center because that's the activity that goes on. So one speaks of the character of the building, the other speaks of the activity in the building. And it is all about God. It is God who makes it a sacred place, and it is sacred because the people of God, who are the temple of God, have joined to worship the one true God. A church does not have to have classrooms. It does not have to have a fellowship hall. It doesn't have to have offices. It doesn't have to have a gymnasium. It doesn't have to have any of that, though they're nice. It doesn't have to have them. But one thing it always has and must always have, and that is a place that is designated for the worship of the one true God by God's people, and it always, always has that. It is the most important room in the building, because it is designated as that sacred place where God's people gather and worship. We may worship here, and we may worship over there. We may have a time in the fellowship hall, but the only place in all of this building that is designated for that purpose is this room. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, verse 17. We read 16. Do we not know we're the temple of God? And look at verse 17. And if any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. And when someone comes into a local church with their own ideas what they're going to do, and they began to be divisive, and they cause problems in the church, don't you ever think for a moment that God overlooks it. And he says, those that destroy the temple, I'll destroy them. I leave the timing to him, but I am assured by his word. When we gather and worship, we speak to God in songs of praise. Psalms 18:49. And therefore I will give thanks to you among the nations, O Lord, and I will sing praises to your name. Amen. We speak to God in prayer. 1 Timothy 2:1. First of all, then I urge the entreaties and prayers, petitions, and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men. And then God speaks to us through his preached word. 2 Timothy 4:1 and 2. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. And then he moves among us. What brings us together as a body, what makes us a family, is what is described in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, and that is the fellowship of the Spirit. It is the binding us together into one family of the Holy Spirit. And so today, we dedicate this holy place of worship of the Most High God as the sacred worship place of Trinity Baptist Church, a local fellowship of Christ's followers and worshipers who are a part of the universal church, both on earth and in heaven. Again, the fellowship hall and all of these places, we can worship in them, but this is the sacred holy place where we have designated it for the worship of the one true God. It is from this day forward, the building is transformed in the way it looks over the last many months. But on this day, it is transformed from a building to a sacred and holy place to worship the one true God. in dedicating this beautifully renovated worship center. And let me just go ahead and say, remember that it started out to be what's in here, and that's what we're focusing on. But as you well know, it's outside of this, all the way around it. And it really is the first floor. And then there's stuff on the third floor. And then there's a parking lot. And then there's an elevator coming. And it just encompasses so much that we're grateful for. But we embark by dedicating this on a new era of worshiping and serving God as the church known as Trinity Baptist Church. And prayerfully, those will come along beside us. And prayerfully, for decades, there will be those who come after us and worship Him here and serve Him as Trinity Baptist Church. Would you bow with me and just pray for a moment? Lord, thank You for this day again. We love You, and we are full of gratefulness on this day. May You be honored. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And so now I want to take a moment, and I want to ask Ryan Polk. I know he's back there baptizing. I'm glad you made it out here and could join us. But I want to ask you, if you will, to come up. And I want to say a few words and then make a presentation. So we began this journey, and Ryan can correct me if I'm wrong, which he does a lot. But generally, we've been on this journey for about 17 months. And so Ryan has, as associate pastor, has a host of responsibilities. But he was willing to take on this gargantuan project on behalf of the church. And so he has led it from day one of assembling a committee together that would work together in trying to determine what company we would want to give charge over this mammoth project. And then after that was done, there were many meetings of dealing with colors and things that would go on in here that you see around you in hallways and so forth and so on. And once the committee had done all of theirs, and that was several meetings beyond the meetings of selecting a company to use, then that was put into a presentation to you, the church, and the church voted on the color scheme that would be this new worship center. And so Ryan presided over all of that, and I'm sure you probably are aware of that. However, once the church had voted and the Lippard construction was ready to go to work on all of this, he went to work too. And it really is a day-to-day operation. It is for them, but it is for the one who's over it, for the church. He's representing the church. He's in constant communication with Nick and Rob about what's going on. And if they have something that needs to go to the church, it comes to Ryan. And if we have something that needs to go to them, it goes through Ryan. And, of course, any project like this, there's just untold problems that are coming up all the time, which they deal with. But Ryan had to also deal with them. This is such a mammoth project that it literally touched every area of our church. And so something would need to be done which was going to inconvenience this area or this group or this ministry. And Ryan went to every one of them, explained the situation, worked with that area of our church to come to a good way to handle this. So he took everybody into consideration. There was never just stepping over, but there was always going to. And sometimes there would be a problem that what Lippard Brothers had thought about we could do. And Ryan, once he talked to the church, the people in charge, couldn't be done. Go back. They were more than gracious to work with us. And something would be decided. And then sometimes it would come from the church to Lippard Brothers. But I just want you to know, from my perspective, he handled everyone in the most superb way that you can possibly imagine, both in responsibility, both in the administration, and as a Christian leader as well. And I can say that on the church side, because I was privy to so much of it that he was deciding and working with people. But I dare say I can also say on Lippard's side, they were treated in that way as well. And so he did a stellar, stellar job. And I have thought about this before I would say this, because this includes me. But I can't imagine, it's beyond my ability to imagine another person who could have done better than what Ryan did. So that's what we've had in this. So we're going to present him with this plaque, and it's beautifully designed. And let me just say, brother, it doesn't have all the words that are in our heart. And we're also giving a check so that he and Kara can get away to a bed and breakfast or whatever they want for a few days, and maybe he can give her personal lectures on building renovation. I don't know what they're going to talk about. I'm going to leave that up to him. Or maybe I might go with him and just see. I don't know. He may invite me, and if he does, I just want to serve in any way that I can. But we can't give enough money, and we can't write enough words to express our appreciation. But we pray that this betokening will remind you of a grateful, grateful church. And it has our logo of Trinity. And that says, Ryan Polk, in appreciation for your excellent leadership of our gym and worship center renovation team, and your exemplary work in overseeing the day-to-day details during the construction process, we are forever grateful. Trinity Baptist Church, Norman, Oklahoma, May 2022. And then it closes with Psalms 27:4. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And so, my dear brother, we are grateful beyond measure. We love you. We thank you. And no one could have done it better. Thank you.
You know, in our wisdom, we decided to add a building program on top of a pandemic. And so it has been 111 Sundays since we've worshiped in here with no restrictions. And it looks so good just seeing everyone together. So it was worth it. So many thank yous. And so this is going to take a few minutes. And we just want to make sure that we thank everyone. But the first is, we really do want to thank you all. This kind of project requires massive flexibility. Some of our campus groups have changed rooms 10 times during this project, and so we are so thankful that you were patient and that you were flexible. I want to give a big thank you this morning to our sound and audio guys. They learned a system to go into the gym and had to manage that, and now they're doing it again in here, and it is not easy, and they have worked so hard over the last few months. We're so grateful for them. I want to take a moment and recognize our committee. We've recognized them before, but Today, we're getting to see the fruit of so much of their work, and it was a working committee. It was formed in October of 2020, and we, through a several-week process, we had about 25 or 30 companies that had been submitted. And we got that down to 8 and then began to do research. Each person on the committee did research on a company and presented that to the rest of us. And from there, we got 3 that we interviewed. And then from after we chose Lippert and began the process, they were involved in every meeting. We asked them to give their opinions, which they did, which they're still doing. And they have worked so hard, even this weekend, helping us get ready. So if you're in here today and you're on our building committee, when I call your name, if you would just stand so we can thank you again. Chris Haynes, Pete Jackson, Adam Wilmoth, Carol Ann Lindley, Dean Long, and did I say Adam already? And Alana LaFon. And so that is our committee. Thank you all so much. So those are the people that you know. Now we want to take some time to introduce some people that the staff and the committee know well, but we want to introduce them to the church. And the first is our architect from Studio Architecture, Patrick Schoenfeld. Patrick, when we contacted Lippert, Lippert said they'd be working with him. And so he comes to and looks at the building. And then in our interview, one of the first things Patrick said was, "You have a really beautiful building." And that almost cost Lippert the job. And we were like, you know. And then he explained that he's like, it just has really good bones. And it didn't take long, though. I remember getting a call from him telling us that he had found these trusses and that he really thought that we should use them. And my first thought was, we do too, but I was scared to death of Ronnie. And so Ronnie came around. And so this open and all this, that Patrick came up with that. And it really changed everything from when we went from there. So Patrick, the dealing with the brick and how to handle this room that had gone to 32 shades of brown. Patrick was the one that figured out how to handle that. And so we have gotten to know Patrick. We love Patrick. We would recommend Patrick to anyone. And so Patrick is with us today with his wife. Thank you for being here. Thank you for what you did. The next person I want to introduce you to is Nick Bench. Nick was our project manager from Lippert. He was the first person that we talked with. So he was overseeing everything. And I told him one time, I was like, Nick, your job is like a big babysitter for a bunch of grown men. Just keeping everything together and everyone working together. And Nick, I don't know, I haven't gone back to look, but we're talking hundreds of texts and emails, and only some of them about hunting and guns. But there, I'm sure, and we interviewed good companies, and I'm sure lots of companies could have done well, but I can't imagine anyone doing better or anyone being better to work with than Lippert has been. It's been tremendous. And one of the things Ronnie and I were talking about this yesterday is that this was a concern from the very beginning. We just wanted to make sure they understood churches and that they would listen. And both with Patrick and with Nick and with Rob, who we'll meet in a minute, they listened to us well. And I believe, from the committee standpoint, I think, if I remember, that it was Adam Wilmoth who did the research on Lippert Brothers and presented. And so it was good. And God led us in that. And so we have worked with them. He's been down here a lot early on. It was all the time. Nick's the one who would hear some of our good ideas and say, do you remember what your budget is? And he also has been the one that over the last few months of things have intensified and some difficulties have come up. We'll ask questions like, do you remember when this was basically paint, chairs, and carpet? And just to remind us that we have expanded, like Ronnie has said, to a very big project. So Nick is here with his wife. Nick has become a good friend, and we've been grateful for his leadership on this project. Last person we want to introduce is Rob Lamb. Rob has been the on-site superintendent with us since August. And so if you've been around the building or you were sneaking through when you weren't supposed to, you probably saw Rob. And so he has done He's the one that's had to deal with everything, manage all the subs, keep everything going, accommodate Ronnie's sabbatical schedule at the last minute, and come on all these things. They worked like crazy the last 2 weeks to get us in here. And Rob, I kept telling him yesterday, go home. And he was here till late, even vacuuming and cleaning, trying to get us in here. He has done an incredible job. Again, just constant conversations and questions. Can we do this? He has handled my text, and he is a, I've enjoyed working with him so much because he doesn't get mad at me when I say, hey, this hasn't been done yet, and which has been a lot. He's heard that a lot, and just like, hey, what about this, or what about this? And so we have had a truly great relationship to work with. I can't imagine it being better. And so Rob's here with his wife, and so Rob, we're thankful for you. Thanks for all your work, brother. Now, if you are grateful and you really like how it looks and you're pleased with everything, I would really encourage you, let one of the committee members know and encourage them. If you have some critiques or complaints, Patrick, Rob, and Nick will be down here at the end of the service, and they'd love to visit with you. I'm just kidding. Don't do that, all right? Ronnie wanted me to talk just a moment about the scope of what all we're actually doing, and he mentioned it, but let me just kind of go through. I'm going to do this really quickly. This is what we're going to have. So we have a completely renovated worship center, a remodeled, two new nursery rooms. You saw as you came in a new coffee and gathering area. We have five new ADA-compliant restrooms. And by that, you can read also normal-sized for normal human beings. We have the ADA accessibility that allows us with the ramp in the hallway, the widened hallways. Of course, we have the remodeled gym. We have new carpet through the entire and flooring through the entire first floor, including the choir room. We have new chairs. These chairs will move into the fellowship hall when our sanctuary chairs get here, what we're hoping is soon. Fire alarm for safety and fire suppression systems have been added. New roofs over the entire building except for the gym. Complete parking lot renovation. So this is not just a, hey, we updated our sanctuary. This has become huge. But we still have some things left to do. And so if you're one of those folks who, when you walked in this morning, you're like, well, that hadn't been done yet, let me assure you, we know, right? This was a very soft opening to get us in here today. There is still a lot of work to be done. We're aware of it. It's the top priority. Rob and his crew know it, and they worked so hard to just get us in today. They'll be on it first thing tomorrow on that. So don't worry. It will all get taken care of. If you have the urge to tell us that something need, we got it, all right? If it's still there in a month, tell Randy, but we've got it, all right? Coming soon will be our foyer and exterior doors and window replacement. On the third floor, we had to create a new hallway for the fire code. And so that will be recarpeted and new lights all the way through the college room and also the bridal area. The parking lots and roof will be finished soon. We're going to be able to paint from the offices all the way to the gym and then also the preschool hallways. In here, we will have new chairs. Across that back wall above the wood strip there will be acoustic panels, and they will also be in these sections next to the lights. And then, of course, as we have a top-notch audio-visual system in here that we are just barely operating on. And in the weeks to come, that will continue to grow. And, of course, the elevator, which has become the bane of these guys' existence right now. And so it's coming, and we will have that soon. So it has been quite the project, but we are so grateful and thankful for you guys and all the work that you put in to give us this. We are truly, truly thankful. Ronnie?
Well, thank you, Ryan, and again, thank everyone that he mentioned, but thank you, the church. And I've, again, come in this building a number of times, and every time I may have become quite redundant, but I would say it's just so beautiful. but it's its most beautiful now with you in it. And we love you deeply. We pray that God gives us many years here together. We're going to have a time of prayer of dedication. And so I'm going to ask Max Barnett, one of our elders. Is Max here today? There you are, brother. Thank you. And I'm going to ask Max, he's going to open us up, and then Chris Haynes, one of our pastors, is going to lead us in prayer after that, and then I'm going to ask Ryan, our associate pastor, to pray, and then I will close us. And so they will be coming up here to pray, but if you want to come, you don't have to, you can do it where you are, but if you want to come and just kneel up here and be a part of this dedication praying, we invite anyone and everyone to come. So Max, will you come and start us off?
Father, we thank you so much for this day. We're so grateful that you've brought us all together to worship you Sunday by Sunday, go out during the week to try to serve you with all our hearts, to let other people know of the excellencies of our God. And Father, we're grateful for what you've provided for us. We don't deserve it. We're very, very aware of that. But you've been so good to us. And so, Lord, today we dedicate this place to you. You brought it about. You worked from the very beginning to see that we have this. And, Father, outside these doors are many people that do not know you. And the thing we most desire as a result of having all this is that you use us to help other people come to know you, come to know the great God that we know. And so, Lord, will you take this beautiful sanctuary, all that's been done in our buildings, and it will be done, and would you help us to do with these facilities what you want done, that the most people can come to know you and spend all eternity with you. So, Father, we want you to know we are so grateful. And we give this place to you. And, God, use it and use us to the utmost for your glory. And, Father, thank you for Ronnie. We know the next few days he'll be going to London. He has a ministry far beyond this church, and Father, we're glad we have a part of that. Be with him as he studies, as he writes, as he tries to share in areas where he's equipped to do. And so, Father, for our staff, we're grateful. For the people, we're grateful. For these facilities, we're grateful. And Father, we dedicate it all to you today, because we've prayed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, today we are just really thankful as we think about not only what you've done, but, Lord, we think about those who many, many, many years ago, Father, gave to buy land that would be used for church and be used for ministry. And, Father, that their sacrifice today then is allowing us to do this today. And so, Father, we pray that we would be good stewards, just like they were, that we would see that what they gave is going to serve us, and we would do that as we serve and minister here at Trinity. And, Lord, as Max prayed, we pray that this would be a place where it would be known that we love your word, we love you, we love seeing people come to know the Lord, and we pray that the things that have happened even today, the worship, the baptisms, the preaching, Father, those would be just be the things that we're known for and that happen in this room regularly and all the time. So, Lord, we love you. We're so thankful. And, Father, we pray that we, as thankful as we are, that we wouldn't be content with just a nice building, but, Father, that we would see this as a place that equips and sends. So, Father, use this for your glory. In Jesus' name.
And, Father, we come this morning, we are broken and humbled before you when we think about what you've accomplished, how it's been by your mighty hand. All those who have come before us, who have given, those that many of us have never seen and we do not know, but you put it on their hearts so many years ago to purchase that land that has now become, Father, an incredible place for your glory, for your name, for your renown. And we do dedicate this place to you, Father. It is yours. This is your church. This is your house. We thank you so much that you've given us an opportunity to be a part of what you're doing right now in this time of history. And as Ryan just prayed, we know that you've got so much in store for what's going to happen with Trinity Baptist Church. We thank you for those who are here right now, all of our members. We know that you're going to use them for the Lord. We pray that they would go out, that all of us would go to be your ambassadors, to go before this place called Norman, Oklahoma, that we would share the gospel and that people would be drawn to you, Jesus. And we pray for all those that will come, those that will be a part of the blessings of this place. And so we thank you. We're just incredibly grateful for how you've used people. We thank you so much for how you've used Ryan. Lord, thank you for his life. Thank you for his ministry. We thank you, Father, for the way you equipped and encouraged and just gave him the strength and the fortitude to work during all these months. Father, just bless him for that. And Lord, we thank you that we get to be a part of all the incredible work that's going to come in the future. And we pray you would help us to be incredible stewards, that we would just do whatever you ask of us as a people and as a church, not so that people would remember Trinity, but they would remember you and that they would praise your name. We ask this in the precious holy name of Jesus. Amen.
Lord, our holy God, we are again so grateful. We express it over and over, but words have not been created to truly express our hearts. And Lord, we do dedicate this building to be a place where your people today and in the coming years and decades, if you tarry, gather intentionally, corporately, to worship you in prayer and praise and preaching and fellowship. And Lord, we look at church history, and yes, people worshiped in fields and streets. But every time, whether it was because of the attacks of a Hitler or Stalin that burned the churches, places designated to worship you, when the people had a chance, they made a building for your people to gather and worship you. And so we do today. And we pray tonight when we gather in this dedicated building to worship you, that we truly do that. But as we partake of the Lord's Supper, we do what the Scripture says, to examine ourselves. May we do that and thereby dedicate ourselves to you afresh and anew as the people known as Trinity Baptist Church.